And you've never heard that, man, we are sinful. All of us in this room, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. And that we're all in need of a savior, and that we have created this chasm between humanity and between God by choosing to sin. And God, being rich in love and rich in mercy, sent his son to this earth, his only son, to die for our sins so that we might be reconciled to him. He took the iniquity of us all and bore it all on himself because he loves you and because he cares about you. And guys, if you don't know that God, then I would just urge you, before you leave tonight, find somebody with a lanyard, find me or Grant. Wish you could find Abigail. She's not here. But find somebody else, a girl, that you can talk to, because we would love to tell you more about this Savior. Because again, it doesn't matter what we do if you don't know him. And this is the most important thing about you guys is going to be what you believe about God. Because he loves you. He is a father. And he wants your whole heart. He wants to give you, which is what I'm going to talk about, a people to gather with, a place to go, and a purpose for your life. That's the talk. And I'm just going to expand on those a little bit, and then the band's going to come back up. Because that is what this is all about. And we're going to do this all year, hopefully, to point you to the one that we sing about and that we talk about. And so, if you don't know him, find one of us after, and we'd love to talk to you more about that. So let me pray, and then I'll jump into kind of what we do here. Father, thank you for the people in this room tonight. Thank you that you have pursued each one of us. Thank you that you have us here because you love us, because you want to teach us something, because you want to call us to something greater than we even thought. God, I pray that if the Watermark College Ministry can serve one person in this room this year, if we can have one person come to know you, if we can have one person learn more about your nature and your character, and if we can have one person who finds a friend who loves them for the first time after being fully known, God, I pray that's why we do all of this. And so would you just use my words tonight to just clearly explain how we try to accomplish loving people like you loved us. And I pray it would not be about Watermark. It would not be about the nine. It wouldn't be about me. It wouldn't be about our staff team. It wouldn't be about the worship. God, it would be all about you. And just use my words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, guys. So like I said, our brand, kind of like what Watermark College, with the words we put on everything we do, we use this lens to look through all of our events, all of our Thursday nights, all of our community groups, through the lens of three words: my people, my place, and my purpose. My people, my place, my purpose. And so the first one, my people. The college ministry is a place where you will meet friends who will run with you after Jesus, walk with you through college, and stand with you in your wedding. That's kind of the tagline we're putting with that. And as how many of you guys are freshmen in here? Raise of hands. So many of you guys. I love that. That's awesome. So glad you're hanging with us. Congrats on surviving your first, what was it, what's it called, syllabus week? I was basically failed out by this point in my weeks. Guys, especially for you freshmen, for the first time in your life, you are away from your parents, you're away from family, you're trying to figure out, what is this? Do I change my name? Should I go by Mary or Mary Grace? Should I, you know, join this friend group or this friend group? And you're just having all of these things to navigate. What should I get plugged in with? All my campus has all of these opportunities. My church does this. My friends do that. This is what we do on weekends. This is what we don't do on weekends. And you just have so much to filter through and so much to figure out. And what I want to promise to you guys, and what as a staff team we want to tell you, is if you choose to plug in with Watermark College, if you want to come to the nine, if you want to join a community group, we're going to promise that you're going to find people who care about you, who love you, who are going to confess sin to you, who are going to look at you as you confess sin to them and say, I love you. And you're going to find the people who are going to walk with you for the rest of your life. What's true about college, a lot of you guys know in high school, we do so much in high school. Like, I mean, and I cared so much about how many points I scored in a basketball game or assists I got. Because I was a terrible shooter, so it was more about assists and steals for me. And I cared so much about the people in the stands, what they thought of me, if they were going to tell me good game the next day. And the truth is, I talked to one friend from high school. I'm 6 years removed from high school. I talked to one friend from high school. And he goes to this church, and that's why. And other than that, I don't keep up with anybody. And I did so much to fight for their approval. I thought, like, almost all of my, the lens I looked through is, what do my friends think? What do my friends think? What do my friends think? And so now you're in college, and you don't have any of those friends. You're trying to find this new identity. You're trying to earn the approval of your college classmates, and that is just not the battle that you want to fight. And you're going to find people, though, who hopefully, again, care about you, love you, and they're going to stand with you in your wedding, and they're going to say, I'm with you for the rest of your life. I'm walking with you. And the best place to find that is people in the church. The way we do it here is through community. And so the way we do community is we get people who are committed to, studying the scriptures together, confessing sin together, and admonishing each other faithfully. We have six core values, and you're not going to remember them, so I'm not going to tell them to you now. But we have these pillars that we believe is the most effective way to follow Jesus with other people. And so we would love to get you connected into that. There's a couple of verses I want to read that kind of encompass all of this. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man of many companions will come to ruin. And that's not saying if you become friends with all of these people in the room, you're going to come to ruin. It's saying somebody that spreads themselves super far, 1,000 miles wide, but an inch deep, and nobody truly knows them, they're going to come to ruin. Because we all have stuff going on in our lives. And if we spread ourselves too thin, nobody truly knows us. And we don't have people who care about us. We have a lot of people who have a general idea of the public persona that we put off, but we don't have anyone who truly knows, man, what is Cooper dealing with? Hey, man, how are you doing? How are you feeding your soul? How are you feeding your flesh? What are you learning? How are you serving others? Those questions aren't being asked to me if I just spread myself thin, serve in 1,000 different ministries, but I don't have people who know and care about me. And so that's what we believe is just the best way to do college. And a lot of you guys may think, I'm in a transition period, it's 4 years. Maybe you're here for the first time and you're a junior, senior. It's 1 year, I'm not gonna get plugged in. I would say that's a bad mindset to have right now. Guys, like, tomorrow is the devil's day. The devil is trying to make you convince yourself that next year I'll do this, next year I'll do this. When I get married, I'll do this. When I have a girlfriend, I'll stop. When I have a boyfriend, I'll do, you know. We convince ourselves that tomorrow we'll do what God calls us to do today. And so I would just highly encourage you guys, man, search the scriptures. Find out if Proverbs 18:24 is true. And it says, but there is a friend, the second part of this verse, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And that's the kind of friend you want to have. Somebody, again, who's going to walk with you through whatever trials, whatever temptations, whatever triumphs that you have in life. It's not all bad. There's so much good that happens in community. There's so much fun and good things we get to celebrate. And I would just urge you guys, man, find those people. If it's not through Watermark, go to a church that has community groups that's going to loop you in where people know you and love you. My freshman year of college, I went to the University of Arkansas, then transferred to DBU and did too many years there. And at Arkansas, I grew up here. I knew the principles of community. I had a layup to succeed in college. And I squandered it. I had a bunch of friends. I spread myself super thin. I had a huge friend group. I was always the kind of guy that was like, hey, let's go do this. Let's go hiking. Let's go camping. Let's go anything but go to class. Let's do that. And my friends would selectively go with me. They would be like, you know, different pockets would go. And I was like, they're skipping class too. But I didn't realize it was like two at a time, you know. Every time I was skipping class. So I'm not throwing this on them. I was an idiot. But I didn't have friends that year who genuinely cared about me, who were like, bro, you are squandering this year. Your parents are investing in you. College is a gift. Plug into the church. Let's do this together. Let's have a blast, but let's also be responsible. Let's be diligent. Let's be faithful with what's right before us, which is right now school, and also following Christ, which is always a call. And I just didn't have those friends, and I just missed out on a year of my life. And I just told myself, I'll do it tomorrow, I'll do it next year, I'll do it my sophomore year, freshman year's for fun. And that's just a lie. And so I want you guys to learn from my freshman year. And Hebrews 3:13 says, but exhort one another day after day, as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. We need people around us that are just gonna encourage us. And Hebrews 10, 23 and 24 later on says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good deeds, not neglecting meeting together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another day after day, as long as it's called today. We need people. And I know in this season, guys, of COVID, literally after spring break last year, we met on a Thursday night, and then Friday it was like the world shut down. And y'all went on spring break, and this is the first time we're getting to see you again. And we all experienced a season of isolation, of loneliness. If we got to meet with community, it was over Zoom. And we just realized, man, we are created for relationship. We are created for people. We're created for people to know us and love us. And what I'm trying to say here is we want to offer that for you. We want to facilitate it. We want to help you find your people in college who are going to love you and care for you and who are going to stand with you at your wedding. And so that's my people. The next one, my place. The things kind of that we do. We do the 9 community groups, 9 local, which is essentially just events and groups of gatherings on your campus. Weekend college events. This is where you belong. This is your home away from home. Guys, we want you, as you leave your parents' house, as you come under into a new city, you're trying to find like, man, where do I belong? Like I talked about earlier, we want to just say, hey, this is where you belong. You belong to a body of believers that's going to run after Jesus with you, that's going to call you to something more. In college, everybody's telling you there's, so much life in the party, in the weekends, you just got to make it through the week, make it through class, make it through 8 to 5, and then the nightlife, the parties, the, you know, insert whatever you think the world is telling you where life is found. It's just, we want to debunk that lie. We want to say life is found when you lay it down. Freedom is found when you submit to the gospel, to Jesus, and to the church. And we truly believe, I know it sounds foreign to college kids so often, it sounded foreign to me to join a church, become a member, start serving, join a community group. It was like, why would you call me, like, my friend's playing Fortnite at like 10:30 tonight. I'm not gonna commit to being at a D now. Like, are you kidding me? But guys, we're saying, I promise you, when you do that, life becomes so much more fulfilling. John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. Satan is gonna try to convince you that life is everywhere else, even in good things, even in friendships that are just complacent. But they're good friends. They're funny. They're good to be around. But I'm telling you, that's just a lie. Life is found in surrender. And we want to help you find a place to serve. And we want to help you find a place to belong. And a lot of times we run, like, so for me, sometimes when I was going home over winter breaks or spring break, whatever, I would like, my least favorite place to be was sometimes with my family, with my people, because I knew they knew who I really was, and I wanted to run from that. I wanted to be as far away. I wanted to be with people who I was a 1,000 miles wide with, but my family was much deeper than an inch, and they knew Cooper. They knew kind of how I operated in isolation, and I wanted to run from that, and hopefully this year you experience this place being a place that you belong. This is your home away from home. And I want to tell you guys, there should never be a reason to run. You're always, even if you've hidden for a long time, when you come and you tell us who you really are, we are going to love you. We're going to be so thankful that you confessed. We're going to be glad like the father of the prodigal son just waited at the edge of the ranch for you to come home. That's what we want you to feel like is, man, this is a family. This is the place where you belong. There's nothing you can do that's gonna make us think, I'm crazy, I'm weird, I don't belong here. Like this should be your place. The word in Scripture, all over Scripture, is for the church is ecclesia, a gathering of citizens called out from their homes into a public place. And that's what this is. This is the church. Not Thursday nights, but all that we do is the church. And every time you gather with other believers that are submitted to it, the eldership of a local body, you're practicing what God intends for his people, is circling up with other believers, telling them, you know, what you're doing. If you read Acts 2, I didn't print it out, I meant to, but Acts 2, 42 through the end of Acts 2, it talks about what a healthy church does. And that's, again, what we're going to call you guys to, is to be the church as a freshman, as a sophomore, as a junior, as a senior. College is not years where you just get to check out. These are the years where you're going to build habits into your life that are going to carry with you for the rest of your life. Whether it's discipline in school or whether it's, man, how do you view the church? How do you view God? How do you view friendships? How do you view girls? How do you view guys? All of those things that you're doing right now, those are going to stick with you. And so we want to build healthy habits of what it means to be a member of a church. And it's not burdensome. Again, guys, it's the way to do it. I just want to say, this is the place that you belong. And finally, the last one, my purpose. This is probably the most important one because it really has nothing to do with us, but more about what we're going to just tell you. Man, this is what God created you for. My prayer, there's so much more to college than the next party. God has a wonderful, wonderful plan for your life, and we want to help you discover it. Luke 2:52 says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with both God and man." This is when Jesus was 12 years old and his parents were looking for him, and they finally found him. He's in the temple, and they're like, "Where have you been?" He's like, "Do you not know that I was in my father's house?" And his mom is like super confused because she's like, "Your dad is Joseph." And he's like, "You don't understand." And his mom, it literally says his mom treasured these words, even though she didn't know what they meant. And then it says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man." And so I'm going to kind of just unpack very quickly each of those little things. So when it says Jesus increased in wisdom, this is your purpose, to increase in wisdom. We're committed to helping you grow in your ability to discern God's way from the world's way. That's what we're going to spend the rest of the semester on. And I'll tell you about that in a second. When you're able to make wise choices, when you discern, when you think through the lens of what Scripture says, you're going to increase in wisdom, which is skilled living. That's literally what wisdom means. And we want to help you do that. We don't want you to make the same mistakes we made. We want you to thrive in college. We want you to be the best years. We want you to leave college as the top 1% in the world of 22-year-old Christians. We want you to be ready to engage a lost, broken, and hurting world. I don't know if you've been on social media lately or watched the news, but man, this world is hurting, and they need Christians. They need you guys. Y'all are the future leaders of the church. Whether you serve in vocational ministry or whether you're a lawyer, a businessman, a doctor, like, we need you, and we want to equip you to be ready. And we're going to do it in a bunch of different ways. So Jesus increased in wisdom. Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." And so guys, when you understand who God is and what he's done for you, and you understand just the gospel and you preach it to yourself every day, that's the beginning of wisdom, because that's when you start to think differently. That's when you start to see the chaos in this world, and you don't think, you know, "I'm going to fix this with this. We're going to change these laws. We're going to, insert whatever problem, that we're going to abolish this political issue." You start to see, okay, how did God change me? And I'm going to do the same thing to help change others. I'm going to just tell them the gospel. I'm going to tell them my story. I'm going to tell them the brokenness that he saved me from and tell them how he delivered me into this light. And that's what's going to change this nation. That's what's going to change people. And you guys have, I was telling a friend today, man, you have all that you need. You are equipped to engage in hard conversations. And they are hard right now. And it's good because it is showing us what we know and what we truly believe. But guys, if you have the gospel, if you know what Jesus has done, you're ready. You're equipped. The world's hurting. Share the good news. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Jesus increased in stature. So, I mean, in college, you grow up, right? You're kind of thrown to the wolves. You got to make your own schedule, choose your own classes, decide where you're going to eat, decide how you're going to spend your money. And you kind of go from, you know, being a child to an adult in 4 years. And that's a huge part of the college experience. And we want to help you. We want to walk with you through that process. We want to watch you grow, not only in wisdom, but in stature. As you learn how this world operates and you learn how you fit in it, we want to be there, right there with you. 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, "When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up my childish ways." And these are not 4 years. College has almost become a place where people just extend their childish years, where they choose their schools based off who throws the best party. And that's not the purpose of college. I'm about to read you a testimony of this guy who knew his purpose in college. But it's a time for you to grow in stature, and it's a time for you to increase in favor with God. And this doesn't mean that you gain favor with God. It's not like the more you do, the better God, the more God loves you. God loves you right now, right where you're at. What increasing in favor with God means is you simply have this growing peace about you. Like you have this certainty of where truth is found, where eternity is. And no matter what happens to you, God continues to increase the peace and the joy and the happiness that comes with life with Christ. And Jesus, of course, knew that, right? He took on the form of humanity. He didn't subtract his deity. He added humanity to it. And he knew that the more he leaned on the Father, the more peace he was going to have. Jesus had the most stress, should have had the most stress that anyone in this world has ever dealt with. He knew what was going to happen when he turned 33. And he lived with this peace because he knew the Father is in control. And he grew in favor with the Lord, with God. He knew that Romans 8:37-39 is true, which says, "In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor heights nor depths, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." And as we grow in favor with God and as we learn this peace that comes with following him, we're also going to increase in favor with man. Like your friends are going to look at you and be like, "Dude, tell me what is different about you. What is different about that group of people you hang out with on Thursday nights or Wednesday mornings when you guys do community or insert the other times that you're with God's people? What's different about you? I'm just using this because this is a Christian school and SMU's not. I'm just kidding. Why does DBU have this peace about them? Right? Like, why is there in the midst of this crazy season, why does it seem like their school is just like under control? Right? Or again, like for you, it's like, why are you okay with your mom dying from cancer? I'm not okay with it, but why do you have just joy in this season? It doesn't make sense to me. And you're going to increase in favor with man, and you're going to be given handed opportunities to, again, invite other people into that. And there was this guy, like I said, I was going to get to. If let me see, does anyone have a tie-dye 9 shirt on up close? Let's see. Oh, do you want to stand up? Anyone else? Any? Yeah? Okay. So if you look at the back, I really want him to see the back. Kind of do a 360 right there. I love it. Thank you. Perfect. Everybody, round of applause. Thank you for that. There was this man named William Borden. And William Borden was, in essence, a billionaire, okay? And he lived in 1904 and 05. He was 16 at the time. And so he was born in the 1800s. And then at 1904, he turned 16, graduated high school, was going to college. He was going to Yale. So what you guys probably don't know is that Yale, Harvard, Princeton, all the Ivy League schools, they used to be like what DBU is now. It is like the place that, or like what, Liberty, sort of, they're going through it right now. what they are is like the Christian place to go where you get trained. It's like DTS or Southern Seminary, like Yale, Harvard, Princeton. Those were the places. So this guy goes to Yale. Now he's known as Borden of Yale. And if you, you know the milk jugs, Borden milk, like that we got in elementary school, right? Like the cardboard, yes? Okay. That's his family. And so he had this extreme wealth that he was just walking through college with. He should have had it easy. But he knew he had a purpose for being at Yale in the middle of a college or a Christian college. And it says, even though Borden was wealthy, he arrived on campus of Yale in 1905 trying to look like one more freshman. Very quickly, however, Borden's classmates noticed something unusual about him. And it wasn't that he had lots of money, one wrote. He came to college far ahead spiritually of any of us. He'd already given his heart in full surrender to Christ, and he'd really done it. We who were his classmates learned to lean on him and find strength that was solid as a rock just because of the settled purpose and consecration, which is just setting yourself aside for God to use. During his college years, Borden of Yale made an entry into his journal that defined what his classmates were seeing, and that entry said simply, say no to self and yes to Jesus every time. Another one said, in the back of his Bible, no reserves. During his first semester at Yale, Borden started something that would transform the campus life. One of his friends described how it began. It was well on into the first term when Bill and I began to pray together in the morning before breakfast. I cannot say positively whose suggestion it was, but I feel it must have originated with him. We'd only been meeting and talking about Scripture, and Bill's handling of Scripture was helpful. He would read us from the Bible, show us something that God had promised, and then proceed to claim promise of assurance. So Bill knew his people. He knew what community was. He was practicing kind of what we do now here. Borden's small morning prayer group gave birth to a movement that spread across the campus. By the end of his first year, 150 freshmen were meeting weekly for Bible study and prayer. By the time Bill Borden was a senior, 1,000 of the 1,300 students were meeting in this group. Borden made it his habit to seek out the most incongruable students and try to bring them to salvation. In his sophomore year, we organized a Bible study. The groups and divided up, and the names were gone over one by one. And the question was, who will take this person? Who wants to take this one? Who wants to take this one? And when it came to someone that was a hard proposition, there would be an ominous pause. Nobody wanted the responsibility. Then Bill's voice would be heard. Put him down. He's mine. Borden's outreach ministry was not confined to Yale campus. He cared about widows and orphans and the disabled. He rescued drunks from the streets of New Haven, tried to rehabilitate them, founded Yale Hope Mission. One of Bill Borden's friends wrote that he might often be found in the lower parts of the city at night, on the street, in a cheap lodging house or some restaurant to which he had taken a poor, hungry fellow to feed him, seeking to lead that man to Christ. Borden's missionary call narrowed to Muslim Kanasu people in China. Fixing his eyes on that goal, Borden never wavered. He challenged his classmates to consider foreign missionary service. One of them said to him, he certainly was one of the strongest characters I've ever known, and he put his backbone into the rest of us in college. There was real iron in him, and I always felt that this is the stuff martyrs were made of and heroic missionaries of modern times. Although he was a millionaire, Bill seemed to realize always that there must be more than his father's business. He refused to join the family business and decided to move overseas. Upon graduation, he turned down high-paying job offers, and it was reported in his Bible, Bill wrote two more words, no retreats. When William Borden, so he's written no reserves, no retreats. William Borden went on to graduate at Princeton Seminary in New Jersey. When he finished his studies at Princeton, he sailed for China immediately because he was hoping to work with Muslims. He stopped first in Egypt and learned Arabic. While there, he contracted spinal meningitis. Within a month, 25-year-old William Borden was dead. When the news of William Borden's death came back to the U.S., the story carried nearly every American newspaper. A wave of sorrow went around the world. Borden not only gave away his wealth, but himself, in a way so joyous and natural that it seemed a privilege rather than a sacrifice, wrote Taylor in her introduction to his biography. When Borden's family ultimately found his Bible, they found in the back of it three statements: no reserves, no retreats, and the last one he wrote was no regrets. And so, guys, I share that story with you is because this guy knew his people. He knew that others on his campus were hurting. He knew he had a place that he needed them to go. He wanted them to get them plugged in. And he also knew, man, there's this place over in China where people have never heard the gospel. And I want you guys to go with me. And he had no regrets, no reserves. And he didn't retreat at the end when it got hard. And you guys can come up here because I'm wrapping up. And And guys, I don't expect us to move to China and be missionaries to Muslims, but I do expect that we love the people in front of us. I do expect that we live with no regrets, no reserves, and no retreat. Because that's what we're called to do as Christians. We're called to find our people, our place, and live for the purpose that we're created, which is ultimately, in the simplest way I can say it, is to know God and enjoy him, and love him, and call others to it. And that's what we hope to offer to you guys. And so the rest of this semester, I'm just going to say now, and Josh, if you just want to dismiss at the end, just pray and y'all can get out of here. We're going to go through a series that you guys may have seen on Instagram called Crossover Culture. And so this was really just to tell you guys kind of what we do. But what we really want to help you guys with is, who in here has never voted in a presidential election? Yeah, I mean, almost everybody, which is why we're doing this, is we want to help you guys understand with a Christian worldview. We want to set aside Republican, set aside Democrat, set aside Fox, CNN, and we want to look at a Christian worldview on the issues that the world is screaming at you. This is what you have to believe. This is what you have to believe. Christians believe this. Atheists believe this. White people believe this. Black people believe this. And we want to give you a new identity, which is the one you already have, which is in Christ. And we want to help you understand that, honestly, spoiler alert, we shouldn't align with any political party. Christians should be too Christian for Republicans, too Christian for Democrats, and we should land somewhere where it's really hard for us to figure out who do we vote for. And the purpose is not to tell you who to vote for. The purpose is to tell you what God cares about. And so that's going to be the rest of the semester, and we're going to walk through some tough subjects, but we would love if you guys came and hopefully are equipped on those things. So let me pray, and then the band will get back after. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to gather together. I pray that we would be able to continue to do it. God, thank you for your people. Thank you that your people have changed my life. That when I decided to surrender just my desires, what I wanted, the ease of living in isolation, you really changed me. Thank you that you gave me a place to belong. I thank you that you revealed to me my purpose. And I pray that this semester, this year, everyone in this room, whether it's at Watermark or whether it's at a different church, they would find people who care about them, they would find a place that they belong, and they would live in their purpose.